We get worried, you know, just a little bit, you know, do I need to wear a mask or not? You know, there's still just a little bit of this insecurity, I think, that comes our way. You know, I mean, it doesn't help that there are, you know, wars going on and instability in all kinds of places around the world, that mass killings are up. Good news, actually murders are down. You know, so we'll take that. But mass killings are up, and they're the ones that get the news, you know, and that just all adds to this sense of insecurity. And what I think we get as we read this and remember that Jesus abides us, that he stays with us, is a real sense of security, of eternal security, through whatever storms that back to Romans 8 when Paul says nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Not the devil, not death, not disease, nothing. So that's what we'll look at today in John chapter 15 verses 1 through 17. Again, Jesus saying for us to abide in him, but that reason, and particularly listen for that, how he abides in us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you again for your written word that speaks to us of your truth. And we pray your spirit would open our minds, our hearts, our souls, to just give us the capacity to hear your word and believe and feel, experience and know it in our heart, our head, and our soul, that we belong to you and that you will never desert us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so the first thing that we have to see here is that we are friends of God. There's an intimacy of our relationship with God. We are friends with God. Isn't that crazy to think of that? We are friends with Jesus. He's the creator, been here since the beginning of time. His very word spoke things into being. His breath breathed life. And yet we are his friends. We've got insider knowledge because we know him. We got insider power We are on the inside. And because of that, that's the reason we abide in Him. It's out of love. It's because we are His friends. He has befriended us out of love, not out of fear. He says, you're no longer servants. You're not just there to do what I say out of fear, out of obligation. You're a part of the team. You're part of the family. You're doing this out of love for me, for one another, out of love for the world. That's why you're obeying me, why you're living according to the way that Jesus lives. Now, on the other hand, it's not like a friendship like a chummy friendship. He's still Jesus. You know, he's still the Lord. And it's not like with friends, you know, all right, we went out last weekend and we got to do what you wanted to do, God, so this weekend we get to do what I want to do. And it's not like that. It's not like that kind of chummy, but it is that sense of insider knowledge and connection and intimacy and a love and affection for Jesus because we're His friends. And He tells us, here's the plan. Here's what I'm doing and how you get to participate in it. Yeah, it's like if the CEO has a chauffeur, then the CEO calls down to the chauffeur and says, hey, get the car. Meet you in 5 minutes. And you do it. The CEO has a friend and says, hey, can you get the car? Sure, where are we going? That's how we get to engage with Jesus. Where are we going? What are we doing? Famous current relationship. Probably everybody knows this relationship, I imagine that you would, particularly Taylor Swift. You've heard of Taylor Swift. You know, almost everybody, probably the most famous, you know, popular musician right now. But, and she's got a boyfriend. Some of you might know him. Travis Kelce. He's a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs who just won the Super Bowl. Well, turns out they are friends. And real good friends with one another. And so you figure if Taylor Swift walking down the street with her entourage, if Travis Kelce comes along and says, hey, Taylor, and starts running towards her, everybody's going to get out of the way and they're going to be able to embrace in the middle of the street. If I go up and see Taylor Swift with her entourage, hey, Taylor, and start running for her, I get tackled, bamboozled, shackled, the rest, and thrown into jail. Because I don't know her and she doesn't know me. But with Jesus, we have that kind of friendship. He has made us His friends. So every day you get up, you know you got one friend. And you got a friend who's ready to lead you through the day. Every day you can get up. Hey, friend, what's on the agenda today? What do we get to do? What are we about? How do I prioritize my task for this day? What are my tasks for this day? What do you have in store? What's the plan? I'm ready to go. That's how a Christian wakes up every morning. Because we're friends of Jesus. We're also told that we're chosen by God. You see that in verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. I remember, Jesus, when I chose you. Well, you know, Jesus says to me, he says, but I chose you. I chose you first. See, this is a humbling reminder that what I believe the Bible teaches is we do not have enough goodness in us to choose Jesus first. Unless Jesus would choose us first, we would never choose Him. We would be lost in our own arrogance or our own brokenness. We'd never humble ourselves to admit our sin and brokenness and receive His forgiveness. He gives us priority. Now, think about that. He's chosen us. You can remember, there's some time in your life you can hearken back to a time when you were chosen. You were chosen for the job. You were chosen, accepted to go to that school. You were chosen for the team. You were chosen for the part. You were chosen for the date. You were chosen to perform. You were chosen. Now, we tend to overwhelmingly think about the times that we were not chosen. But there were all times in our lives when we were chosen. And just how uplifting that was. That I'm chosen. I belong. That's who we are before Jesus. We have been chosen by Him. That's why we can abide in Him. We can remain in Him. Think about something else that you've chosen. That you've chosen and you've paid for. And how important and significant that is to you. I'm going to share with you something right here. This right here. The NFL's official encyclopedic history of professional football. It is published. Give you the copyright date here. In 1974, when I was 10 years old. It has in it right here a little ex libris, fancy little thing to say, would signed in my mom's handwriting, Drew Smith. This was the first book I ever bought. And I remember seeing it in the bookstore. Saying, and I was a football lover. You grew up in Alabama in the 70s, you're going to be a football lover. And was, still am. Sold Christmas cards one fall around the neighborhood. Saved $15. It says it right here, $14.95 plus tax. And bought that from the bookstore, and it still sits on our bookshelf today because I chose it and bought it. And I'm sure y'all have something. You have some piece of clothing, some relic of your life that you chose, you bought, and you still have. You just keep it close. So, some of y'all are like that with food. My mother-in-law is like that with food, particularly dessert. God bless her. Now she's got plenty to share. But I can remember, whatever she ordered for dessert, whereas the rest of us, we were always passing things around. She was like, "Nah, if you want some key lime pie, they got plenty. Order your own." When she chose it, that was hers, and she enjoyed every bite, and it wasn't for you. We were chosen. Chosen by God. Don't you think He's going to protect us? He's going to keep us. Don't you think He's going to take us all the way through because of His character, because of His love? He abides in us because He has chosen us. We are a friend. We are chosen ones for a reason. The last thing that we're told in verse 16 is not only did He choose us, but He appointed us that we should go and bear fruit, and fruit that will abide. Fruit that will remain. He did not just choose you and me to save us. so we can be in heaven. That's a great thing. That's miraculous. But that's not the reason he chose us. It doesn't stop there. We have purpose. He directs us. And you notice I'm using the plural. The best translation of this is y'all. Jesus is saying y'all. We so quickly individualize it, you know, and it makes it just me. And then it's just me and my salvation. So I get up and say, okay, I can't wait till Jesus comes back so I get to be with him. No, that is not the story that we're living. Otherwise, it would have stopped there. But no, you are a friend of Jesus. Y'all are a friend of Jesus. We are a friend of Jesus. We are chosen by Jesus so that we are appointed to a task that also remains forever. You want security? Well, then just love one another. That lasts forever. You want security? Then love those around the world. Love those that cross your path the way that Jesus loves you. That's eternal. And that's the task that he's appointed us to. That's why over and over again in here, Jesus says, I don't know how many times in his last words that he says, love one another. I mean, Samuel, the whole sermon, the whole topic a couple weeks ago was love. And he continues to say it over and over. Sometimes it's like he just throws that in there. It almost doesn't make sense. But that's the task that we're then now appointed to by him, that we get to do together. We come, we gather, then we scatter and we do it and we get beat up. And we'll talk about that actually, because that's another thing Jesus talks about. We get beat up and then we come back and we encourage, support, we go back because we want to be a part of a task that lasts forever. You know, I know there's a whole lot of huge, great inventions in our lifetime. I got no idea if there's going to be a computer or an Apple phone or an artificial intelligence in heaven. I don't know. I don't know that those will last. They make billions and trillions of dollars today. But I don't think they have anything to do with heaven. Now, we can use those tools and what we do and how we use them in order to love, in order to care, in order to share the good news. Maybe that lasts. Well, actually, I know that does last. But those tools, as great and as marvelous as those are, I don't think so. So we get to be participating in fruit that does last, that remains, that never spoils as we follow Jesus. When that's security. That's Jesus abiding in us. Anything that we do that connects with God's purposes, his beauty, his justice, his good news, his grace and mercy, participating in his plan of salvation for the whole world. That is fruit that abides. I mean, it's what Samuel mentioned last week. You know, we do greater things than Jesus. Isn't that crazy? We do greater things as we gather and scatter and carry out as friends and chosen ones, then appointed to the task and live out the love of Jesus, sharing him with others and what we say and do. We are doing greater things than Jesus because we're doing it in more places than he could. He's appointed us to that task. Got up Saturday morning, you know, early. We had a presbytery meeting in Ripley, Ohio. And, you know, presbytery meetings, actually, with ECO, they're not bad. But they're not the kind of thing you really get up and get excited about. Man, I'm going to go do those. But I got up Saturday morning, and I was like, I've been, you know, studying and cramming on working this sermon and this text. And I got saying, hey, I get to get up this morning and love Jesus. I get to do something that I know lasts. I got up this morning early, said, I need to go work on this sermon, be sure we're all together. But I got upset. Hey, I get to go and share this good news about the love of God that lasts forever, that we're friends and chosen, and we're a part of what he's doing. Man, this is good news. I get to go share. I got the best job ever. No matter what, that is true. And that is who we are every day. We're not just trying to make it through. We're not trying to save the world. God does that. We're just trying to do the task that Jesus has appointed us to, that he's chosen us for, that he's befriended us to accomplish, to be a part of what he's doing. So this week, this, you know, in the morning, get up in the morning and say, all right, how do I get to love Jesus? How do I get to love others in the name of Jesus today? Because I know that lasts. That's what we get to do this week, friends. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do give you thanks. We are overwhelmed that we get to participate in your loving kingdom, the work that you're doing in our midst. We receive your friendship. We receive your choosing of us. And now, Lord, we want to continue to be changed by you, transformed by you, to do the task that you've called us to, because we want to do the stuff that remains. Thank you, Lord. Continue to open up our minds and hearts to remember and receive just that good news that we are chosen by you and all that entails. Lord, we also thank you that we can come before you as your friends. We enter into your presence with boldness because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We are washed clean and we come in your presence without fear and as friends. And so we lift up one another to you, the pains and struggles of this life, of our own sin. We lift them before you, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world and in Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Palestine and Haiti and Somalia, other places where there is war, terror. Lord, we pray for your care, that they would know they're chosen by you. They would abide and remain in you, those that you have chosen, those are your friends, and they would continue in the work that remains, even in the midst of such upheaval. And Lord, we pray for one another. We continue to pray for Janet Bennett. We pray for Carol Baker, for those who don't know, husband and wife. But both were in the hospital this week and pray your healing and strength. We thank you that Mrs. Carol Baker has returned from the hospital and pray you'll continue to strengthen Mr. Carol Baker. Thank you for the faith that you've placed in them. Now strengthen them. And Lord, we do lift up Jacob to you as well. And we send him off to you for what next step you have for him and pray your blessing and leading and guiding and directing him to what you've created him to do, that he might continue to grow in his knowledge and love for you and for all that you have across his path. We lift all these things up to you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.